The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders, the Australians.
Sono felice di servire il Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
Five new temples.
Ni kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
This is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. I'm Tim Taggart, and today we're visiting with President Emerald Gould, the new stake president of the Port of Spain Trinidad Stake. President, it's a delight to have you with us by phone today.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
If you would, tell us just a little bit before we start talking about your church calling and the new stake in this wonderful part of the world. Tell us a little bit about your story of how you came to find the church and a little bit about your family background and what you do for a living and that sort of thing.
Okay, sure. Well, I joined the church just over 20 years ago. I was a teenager, 17, when missionaries came knocking on my door. My mother, my single mother, was home alone at the time when they first came by, and of course, they weren't able to teach her alone, so they rescheduled for a day when I would be home. And they came back and started teaching. And coming out of that, I was the only person baptized at the time. My mother eventually joined the church several years later. Now, when I joined the church first, there were only two branches in Trinidad, and I've been able to see it grow to where we've become a stake. And it's definitely been a blessing to see that. I've been married 9 years. My wife and I have been sealed in the Caracas Venezuela Temple, and we've been grateful to be members of the church and have the gospel in our lives. We're not yet blessed with children, but we're still enjoying the family that we enjoy, the family relationship we have with the other members of the church. I work at one of our financial institutions, one of the largest in the Caribbean, as a computer programmer and a project manager from time to time. And it's interesting being a member of the church and trying to balance all of these things.
I bet it is a challenge. It's so difficult to try to balance all of the different aspects of life, and now you have the calling of a stake president. Tell us a little bit about your experience as you were called to this new calling and about the new stake.
About the stake? Well, the stake we have six wards and two branches. There are still two other branches on the island of Trinidad, which still belong to the West Indies Mission. We're looking forward to the day when they will grow and develop and eventually be part of the state. We have just over 2,000 members and a country of about 1.3 million people. The call was extended by Elder Anderson. This would have been about a month before he was sustained as a new apostle. So we consider him our apostle, actually. It was a really exciting journey. We've been working towards becoming a stake for a number of years, and we've come fairly close to qualifying, but the brethren, in their wisdom, have always thought that we weren't just ready, and we're grateful for the opportunity to become a stake, the first English-speaking stake in the Caribbean. And it's indeed an honor and a blessing. The calling was rather interesting. You know, again, we look forward to it when Elder Anderson was here, the brethren who were interviewed, and my wife and I were actually at a show with another bishop, who's a bishop now anyway, and when my phone rang and we were invited to come back to meet with Elder Anderson, and there were butterflies in his stomach, but again, you were wondering, is it because he's calling me to be the state president, or maybe a counselor, or he just wants to make sure certain things? But it was an interesting experience, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. And even the experience since then, it's been just over 6 months. And it's a growing experience for all of us.
I'm sure it is. I bet it's been a bit of work just getting everything organized.
Yes, it has been.
I'm sure.
I think being a new stake provides the additional challenge of having to put everything in place. I'm thinking if I had taken over from a previous stake president, there would have been many of the programs and organizations already in place, and we could adapt and adjust as we felt inspired to. But in this case, everything is fairly brand new, and there isn't a mission president I can call to say, so how do I do this anymore? So I have to kneel and pray and seek the counsel of my counselors and refer to the handbook and the scriptures very often.
Tell us a little bit, if you will, about the people that live within your stake, some of the issues that come to bear culturally and spiritually, a little bit about the background of the area.
Okay. Trinidad is an interesting place. We're very close to Venezuela. In fact, there are several points in which you can see Venezuela from certain parts of Trinidad. However, we're not Spanish-speaking. We were a British colony for a couple hundred years, and we became independent in 1962, and a republic in 1976. We're part of a twin island nation, Trinidad and Tobago. And Tobago is just a few miles off the northeast coast of Trinidad. And we have people of many different backgrounds. We have people of African ancestry, Indian ancestry, Chinese, Portuguese. Most of the country is made up, the two major ethnic backgrounds would be those of African heritage and those of Indian heritage. We also have a wonderful mix of religions as well. Just over half of the country is Christian, with just under a quarter being Hindu, 10% Muslim, and the rest a cacophony of different religious backgrounds. It makes for an interesting country as we're not necessarily a secular country, but a multiracial, a multi-ethnic, multi-religious, and multiracial country as well. So we seek to respect all different religions. There are several national holidays which commemorate certain festivals in the different religions. So we have a national holiday for Diwali, a Hindu festival, as well as Eid al-Fitr, a Muslim festival, and several Christian holidays as well. So it makes for good interaction and relationships among the people. You know, we enjoy the different heritages that come to bear, and the you know, the food in particular, the different influences in our dishes. I was in another Caribbean country recently, and someone asked me, "What's our national dish?" And I'm thinking it would be difficult to identify any one particular dish as a national dish because of how many different influences there are here.
That's great. Sounds like quite a cultural mix.
It is. And you asked about some of the challenges we face. And in my view, and this is purely a personal view, I think those blessings of that wider background can also be one of the challenges we face because we respect so many different faiths and religions. Sometimes it's difficult for one person to convert. Conversion is more than simply accepting the doctrine. It's also a social conversion as well as a cultural conversion. There's so many things that we need to leave behind. It can be a bit of a challenge.
And that's true, I think, all over the world, and sounds like particularly true in your area. This is the Mormon Channel. Our program is Into All the World. I'm Tim Taggart, and today we're visiting with Emeril Gull, stake president of the Port of Spain Trinidad Stake. It's such a pleasure to be able to visit with you. The brand new stake, the first stake in Trinidad, was organized only 6 months ago by Elder Neil Anderson as president in one of the presidents of the 70, of course, now a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. And I'm sure that he's delighted and thrilled with the growth that's occurring in Trinidad, as we all are. Can you share with us some experiences that have come among members of your church as they've come into the church? Can you think of any experiences, conversion experiences, that come to mind?
Wow, there's so many. I can think of just one in particular I would want to relate right now. And there's my branch president, in fact. He joined the church a couple of years ago when I was branch president of one of our branches here. And he was an interesting, what would I say, his story is rather interesting. When the missionaries found him, he and his family, they started coming to church fairly early, but it took them several months to eventually become baptized. Because of, he'll be the one to have to tell you that. I'm not quite sure why, really. But he accepted every one of the challenges that and commitments that the missionaries extended to him. He and his family started praying immediately. They started having family home evening. They started reading the scriptures regularly. But he just didn't get that testimony. And then a general conference was coming around, and one of the missionaries who was responsible for teaching him felt inspired to give him the promise, you come to every session of conference, and you will receive your testimony. And he decided he'll do that. He obeyed, and he came. He came all five sessions of conference, including priesthood session. And on the last session, at the end of the last session, going home, he was assigned to take her sister, or give her sister a ride back home. And as he relates the story, the entire ride was quiet until they pulled into the street where her sister lived. And she felt inspired to bear her testimony. Simple testimony of how she knew the church was true. And as he was driving out of that street, he looked across his wife. He looked across his wife and asked, did you feel that? And she said, yes. And they were baptized the very next Saturday. It bore testimony to me of plain and simple things, of the plain and simple ways in which the Lord testifies of the truthfulness of his gospel through other members. And that story continued, because after being baptized, he received a calling fairly quickly, and he was ordained to the Aaronic priesthood. And during that interview, I felt inspired to challenge him to prepare for the Melchizedek priesthood. And within a couple of months, he was ordained to the Melchizedek priesthood, and then he came into my office and asked, so I've done that. What next? So I challenged him to prepare for the temple. And within 2 years of being baptized, he and his family had been to the temple, where they're now sealed for time and eternity. And he's serving as a faithful branch president in one of our growing branches. His story is one of those that, it's one of many stories like that that we have here within Trinidad.
And the marvelous thing is the gospel grows one individual at a time. Sometimes we talk about the 13 million members of the church across the world, but the reality is each one of them has their own story of how Heavenly Father has reached out to them through His Spirit and touched their lives. And we receive the blessings. What are some of the experiences that you have with the missionaries? Now, you're a part of the West Indies mission. How do the missionaries find people to teach, and how does it work with the members and missionaries in your area?
We have a lot of members who are willing to go with the missionaries to help teach. We also get some member referrals from time to time. But for the most part, missionaries find, they do a lot of the finding themselves, and they're very good at that. Within recent times, the mission president, we have a fairly new mission president, but someone from the Caribbean himself, that himself is a wonderful experience. He is teaching the missionaries, or has proven to the missionaries in recent times, that there are so many people out there who are willing to learn more about the gospel. And he took them out recently, and within 40 minutes, he found 39 people who were willing to be taught by the missionaries. He got their contact information, and they have follow-up meetings scheduled. And this one may have happened just last week, I know. It's been an interesting experience we've had here with the missionaries. You know, there would have been the time when missionaries were turned away at the airport. Luckily, that has changed. We now have a certain number of missionaries that can be allowed within the country. We've managed to find an increase of that number, the number of people who are allowed. And we haven't been utilizing the full amount up until very recently, and actually even up until now, we haven't used the full amount that we're allotted. And there's been a bit of a challenge in another country in the mission recently, and the mission president may have to bring several more missionaries within Trinidad and Tobago. We actually set a fairly lofty goal as to the number of baptisms we'd like to achieve within the next year, and when we set that goal, I really wondered, I felt like Nephi being led by the Spirit, not knowing what I should do or how we're going to accomplish that goal. And lo and behold, an opportunity has presented itself where we may have a certain influx of additional missionaries here for a time, which may allow us to achieve that goal fairly quickly, I think.
That's marvelous. Well, and Heavenly Father knows who His children are, and it's wonderful to be able to connect them to the missionaries and to see that work moving forward. How many is there buildings that the church owns within the stake? Are most of the units, the wards, meeting in church buildings? Are there rented facilities as well? What are the facilities like?
We have four church-owned buildings, and the rest are rented facilities. In the buildings, we have a quite adequate on the church-owned buildings, at least. The rentals, of course, we all grow them fairly quickly. So, but that gives us an opportunity to see the work growing and set goals as far as making commitments so that we can qualify for some church-owned building. Mm-hmm. One of the challenges we're finding, while the rest of the world real estate prices have plummeted, real estate prices have gone fairly high a few years ago and they haven't gone down in spite of the economic situation worldwide. So finding appropriate property and at fairly good prices is a bit of a challenge.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's
another
true.
The appropriateness of the property is also another concern, finding something that members can get to fairly easily as it relates to public transportation. Many of the members don't have their own car and rely on public transportation. And in some cases, people may have 2 hour travel time to get to a church on a Sunday. But, you know, people are finding the opportunities to do it and making the sacrifices to be there.
That's great. Do you have a very active population of young men and young women in your stake?
Young men and young women, they're growing, and the active level of activity is growing as well. We've, at the High Council, at the PEC level, we've committed to beef up the Duty to God program and the Young Women's Personal Progress program to get them a little bit more active, to increase their level of activity. What we do have is a fairly large population of young single adults who are, or young adults, because several of them are getting married and going to the temple, who are making me smile every day. I look forward to the release, not necessarily because I don't enjoy the work, but there's so many people out there who will make wonderful stake presidents, and I'm absolutely certain that I will probably be the worst stake president that the stake will ever have, looking at the potential we have.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure that that's true, but it's wonderful to be looking at those who are growing in the kingdom. And it's marvelous as you see the young people and how the Lord is preparing them, especially the next generation. Do you have very many young people that are children of members of the church that have come along as the second generation?
No, we're still fundamentally a first-generation church. Mm-hmm. The second generation, they're now being born and are probably in primary right now.
Yeah.
We may have a couple of them in young men and young women. You know, I've been able to see some of my friends in the church baptize their children, and that itself is a wonderful experience. And we're getting to the point where they'll be ordaining them to the priesthood shortly. But, you know, that in itself is a wonderful experience.
Well,
the church is very bright.
And to see the young people as they prepare themselves to go on missions. Have you had an opportunity for very many from Trinidad to be able to serve missions?
The church has been here about 30 years, and in that time, we have about 36 returned missionaries, 36 people who have gone to serve missions. We currently have 3 missionaries in the field. One young man, his mission call was issued just last week. And we're working with about 6 or so who are currently working on their mission papers, which should be in within a month or two.
That's
so
terrific.
We expect to have a fairly large number of missionaries out in the field within the next year or two. And that in itself is gives us a certain level of excitement. When we think of the training they're going to get out in the field, especially using the Preach My Gospel manual, that in itself is going to prepare these young men and young women for leadership position in ways that we couldn't do, of course. And we expect in a couple of years when they come back that the leadership pool is going to be tremendous.
That's great. We're on the Mormon Channel. The program's Into All the World. We're speaking with President Emerald Gould, stake president of the Port of Spain Trinidad Stake, and I'm Tim Taggart. It's such an opportunity to be able to visit with a new stake president in a new calling and to feel your spirit and commitment and excitement with your new calling. What are some of the opportunities that you see coming along because of the gospel in Trinidad?
Oh, wow. Trinidad and Tobago has specific challenges and that I'm sure that exist throughout the world. The threat of family and the breakdown of family life is something that has crept in here, and we're seeing the effects of it. You know, we have fairly uncomfortable levels of crime and so on. One of the opportunities we have a wonderful relationship with other religious organizations and even student government departments. And we get the opportunity, we'll have the opportunity, as time goes by, I'm sure, to share with them our ideas of protecting the family as we know it. There are several institutions which agree with us on that, and we've had the opportunity to share ideas with them. The church in Trinidad is a member of the Interreligious Organization, and that allows us to interact with 25 other religious leaders. We have a wonderful relationship with them, even on a personal level, and in addition to at an institutional level. The opportunities we see as the gospel grows within Trinidad and Tobago is the opportunity to share those values and encourage, in particular, the young people and the people of the next generation to embrace those values and see their lives being blessed in so many ways.
That's marvelous. And you know, the work is just going to move forward as time moves on. As you think about those young men and young women that are preparing themselves to come to Trinidad to serve missions, what bit of advice would you give to them as they prepare to come?
Trinidad is an interesting place. One of the things I would always encourage any missionary, whether it be the young men, and they've recently started calling young women to serve in the West Indies mission, so we may get a few of them serving here. Yeah, so whether it be the young men, the young women, or even the senior couples, one of the things I would encourage them is to really get to understand and love the members. The members here, and the population in general, I should say, the people. The people are very warm and welcoming to the missionaries. And there are many times when we may want to compare life here to life back at home. And that may not necessarily always be a fair comparison for either one. So, you know, get to truly understand and get to truly love the people here. And I guarantee you, the people will show a wonderful, warm, welcoming spirit to any missionary who comes to serve within our land.
That's great. And good advice, I think, for all of those who are preparing for missions throughout the world as things move forward. Well, President, what are some of the challenges that the members face as the church grows in Trinidad? What are some of the challenges that are going to have to be overcome by individual members as they look forward to growing their own family in the church and building the kingdom?
Well, as I mentioned before, you know, there's a cultural conversion that needs to happen. And one of the challenges in particular that we sometimes face is getting people going to the temple. Of course, there is no temple in Trinidad, and everyone has to travel overseas to get to a temple. And sometimes that could be a bit of a deterrent, or sometimes it could be discouraging when some members have to consider the sacrifice. But of course, you know, we take example from the pioneers to cross the plains. They themselves had to make significant sacrifices to be able to follow the council and to follow the prophet. So, you know, we encourage our members to set those goals, turn their tent, the doors of their tent to the temple, and set those worthwhile goals to go. The temples that are closest to us, as I mentioned, my wife and I had gone to Caracas, Venezuela, to be sealed. For the same, Trinidad State is actually part of their temple district. But the challenge there is sometimes the political situation. Some people are a bit afraid to go. So some other members would go to the Santo Domingo Dominican Republic temple. And the airfare to either one of those countries is fairly high, $200 to $300 US per person round trip. And that's relatively high for the members here. And it's interesting me, it may be half of that to go to North America to do temple, whether it be Orlando, Washington, or even Manhattan Temple. However, the visa restrictions, so there are some visa restrictions, and not many members qualify for a U.S. visa to be able to enter the U.S. to go to the temple. So they sometimes need sacrifice to go to the Santo Domingo Dominican Republic Temple. But they have a patron facility there next to the temple, which keeps the cost down somewhat. It's exciting to see families set those goals to go to the temple and to go and to come back and smiles on their face and their commitment and dedication to the gospel after they do that. So that in itself is one of the challenges. Another challenge we sometimes have is doing family history work and family history research. Not much of our records here have been archived. So a lot of research has to be done via anecdotal information that they would gather from ancestors. And that will take us back just a couple or three generations. And that can be a bit of a challenge. Even our family structure, some of us who may be descendants of slaves with proper family records may not necessarily have been kept is a bit of a challenge. Or indentured laborers who may have come from India or China. You know, the family history or the information that's available may stop just a couple of generations back. So that in itself is also a challenge. But again, we know that the Lord is mindful of us and our situation, and he will open a way where this information can be available to us within his time.
And I'm sure you'll witness miracle after miracle in the lives of individuals as they prepare themselves for the blessings of the temple and then in turn bless the lives of other people in the local units as their lives are blessed. We've been visiting with President Emerald Gould, stake president of the Port of Spain Trinidad Stake, on the Mormon Channel. The program's Into All the World, and I'm Tim Taggart. President, as we conclude, we'd love to have you just share your testimony with us and share with us your spirit of this work.
Okay. Several years ago, I had to determine for myself that the church was true. I had been a member for about 10 years or so, but I needed to confirm that. And, you know, it led me down a path of prayer, fasting, scripture study, and reading. And at one point in time, I got into the scriptures, and I was reading of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, taking upon himself the sins of all mankind. And I realized that experience, as much as it was for everyone, it was also for me. It was very personal. At that point in time, I came to a knowledge that Jesus is the Christ. And I felt both a spirit of love and a spirit of unworthiness. I felt as though I may not have been worthy of the blessings that I was entitled to because of that sacrifice. And then I recognized that I would have been worthy of it because if I wasn't, he would not have done it. So I just needed to be able to see the worth that I was, that he saw. And because of my knowledge that Jesus was the Christ, I recognized that he knew he would want us to be able to return to live with him, and he would provide a way for that to happen. And that was the foundation of my testimony of the Book of Mormon being true. As Moroni said, remember how merciful the Lord has been, even unto the children of men, even from the time of Adam. And I recognize that he's been merciful unto me on a personal level from all the days of my life. Since then, I've committed myself to serve him and to qualify to truly be worthy of the blessings that he has made available to me because of his sacrifice. I know that the church is true. I know that Joseph Smith knelt in that sacred grove and looked up and saw Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. I know that incident actually happened. I know that the Book of Mormon is true, that it is scripture that was preserved for us in these days, and that as we study it, as long as we study other scriptures, we will come to a realization of the truthfulness of the gospel, and we will find answers to many of the challenges that we face from day to day. I am humbled by the opportunity that I have to serve here as the stake president in Port of Spain, Trinidad. I know that I would probably learn more than I could teach anyone. I would learn more from them than I could ever teach anyone. And I'm indeed humbled by the sustaining vote and support that I receive from the members of the church here. I know these things to be true. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thanks, President. This is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. We've been visiting today with President Emerald Gould of the Port of Spain Trinidad Stake, the first stake organized in the West Indies, and the first stake in Trinidad. Thank you for being with us today. I'm your host, Tim Tiger.
You have been listening to Into All the World.